So it does look like most of you were here in the previous session, so fine. Cool. So it's good because we have some context. It's also good because some of these slides you've already seen, so we can get you out of here early and can go have a nap or, you know, something to eat. Okay. So I'm going to talk about APIs and API management. Like I said, it's a new product that we acquired the company about 2 years ago and implemented their solution into our infrastructure. We're very interested in APIs, definitely because this aspect of microservice, because it's a great way for you to expose your business logic to the world and increase the size of your business or improve your agility by building these APIs and using them in many ways. So by having an API, you can obviously start selling your services, and I'll show some example of customers. You have all these great capabilities, and now it's much easier to open new channels and sell them to people. And then you can use them to extend your solution. We'll see one example there in a moment of company that collects a bunch of data about sporting events, and by exposing an API, they can essentially monetize all of this great work they're doing. And then something that's interesting to me and I'll show in my demo is, again, the ability to make your development process easier. So again, you create your API, it's now a contract between your clients and your backend, and you can start developing in two parallel teams and increase your agility. And again, for us in Azure App Service, it's very important to get developers to be productive. I think I had a gentleman here ask me between the sessions, what's the difference between us and Amazon? So Amazon has a great product and AWS is great, but AWS is exactly like that example I showed of the grocery store. They have a lot of good things and you have to assemble your own. In Azure, we're trying really hard to give you an end-to-end solution that you can just start and innovate on. So what do we see people use APIs for? Obviously, mobile enablement, just like some of the stuff I just showed you, very quickly create APIs that can be consumed by mobile devices. You can create, again, a partner ecosystem. You have all this data you collected. Now other developers can use it and potentially pay you or increase your business. And then, like we talked about, agility. It gives you agility for your business because you're exposing these capabilities and other people can create UX that makes sense for them instead of your own UX. And it makes your development team faster because they design the API once and then you can have different teams keep developing your solution. Okay, I hate those, sorry. Although it's fun too. Boom, okay, never mind. So, Azure API Management has some core capabilities. Because we have this proxy, we established this fun tool. Now, all of my APIs, and I'll show this in my demo, all these APIs, doesn't matter where they come from, they sit behind the same URL. It means that I can smooth out the implementation. If I had something I built 2 years ago or 5 years ago using SOAP and WSDL or what have you, or just some kind of a protocol I created internally, I can use APIM to make them look the same with REST API. This is that facade that we're talking about. I can do a bunch of things to increase the capabilities of my API, right? So I can go and, because I'm sitting in this proxy in the incoming and outgoing traffic, I can go and change some headers, I can go and do caching, I can do this throttling and so on and so forth. And then I can publish that developer portal to show developers how to use it. Yeah? All right. No, I wanted to, okay. So a little bit about the product. We have about 5,000 customers using it by now, about 6,000 instances of people using it. We take all these 4 billion hits a month and hundreds of thousands of developers, and we had very strong growth in the last few years. So we're kind of very competitive in this space. And as you will see, it's very well integrated with the rest of Azure. you'll see us investing in it more in this calendar year. And then we have customers basically in all of the Azure data centers, and I don't know if it's impolite to say it here, but we're going into mainland China later this year. So samples of some customers. New Market is a big ISV that supports a bunch of big hotel chains with all the functionality, you know, room, inventory, check-in, check-out, all that good stuff. They had all these APIs. They used API management essentially to, again, collect them together and use the capability of monitoring and reporting to actually understand how many people are using their APIs, where they're coming from. And because they have the API management, they can now start refactoring the back end. So stuff that they needed to modernize, now they have API management, they can go replace the APIs and improve them over time. And in the demo, I'll show how easy it is to do that. This company, they have a bunch of digital assets that they share with customers. They had to build something that only works inside United Kingdom. So again, they can use API management together with the networking capabilities of Azure to encapsulate which IP addresses are allowed. And again, they can integrate with on-prem systems and with actually some stuff on AWS to create one consistent API experience. Again, one of the other points that we make is with the monitoring, you're able to understand if you have bottlenecks for performance and improve your stuff. And again, you can set policies, I'll show that as well, for throttling. So if you know you have something that works slowly, you can then say, okay, I'm just going to allow 4 calls every second. You know, sorry. Right. Fantasy data, example I gave before. I don't know if it's big here, but United States, they have these fantasy sport leagues. It's a very big thing. But they basically build these kind of fantasy teams that are competing with each other. But they're based on real players. So you need data about the real players. So these guys, they basically create a service that has a bunch of data about players. They expose the API, and all of these fantasy league websites can consume their API and build their own experience. So it's great business for these guys. They're selling essentially data, and we are able to help them by providing them with API management. So very, very cool functionality, very cool product to play with. We eat our own dog food at Microsoft, so the cognitive used to be Cortana Analytics. Is it still Cortana Analytics? I'm sorry. The Microsoft guy says yes, okay. Cognitive API, cognitive services, used to be Oxford Project. Project Oxford was the code name. They worked with us from day one. All of their API is exposed to that. So API I showed in the previous session, where I showed the OCR API that took the letters out of the image, that's an Oxford API exposed to API management. So we use it inside Microsoft for our own stuff. And then we use it also for Halo, for partners in Bungie, the guys who write Halo. They exposed beta API to allow people kind of extend the universe. Again, using our old product, handling million of hits. So like I said, product is pretty robust, used very well. There's another sample I don't have here of a medical company in the United States, a big chain of hospitals. And because of the new legal requirements with the Health Care Act in North America, they have to expose more data about their patients and so on, and they do that with API management. And that's really a great aspect for stuff that is really locked inside your enterprise, right? You have to expose it in a secure way. You can use API management, it has the VPN functionality, and you can suck the data out from on-prem and expose it to your customers. So when we look at the product itself, we have three personas of people that use it. You have the app developers, so those guys will consume your API and develop against it. They have this developer portal that I will show in a second. Developer portal allows you to see documentation about the API. It also allows you to experiment with it. So most of my demo, I'm going to be the developer persona and execute the APIs using that. There's the apps themselves. They obviously interact with this API head that we have in our gateway. The gateway controls how the API looks, like I showed you, and it's called the route of the API. So you can, again, express your API in a way that's friendly to your developers and do the throttling and so on. And then you have the API publishers, which are us, in this case, the persona who developed the API, or the person who's a sysadmin in a big enterprise, where they manage the APIs and make sure that they expose the right versions, they can do the version upgrades, publish the documentation to the developer portal, and so on. And like I said, you can use a VPN to expose APIs that exist on-prem, or you can expose stuff that is in the cloud. So for example, what I've showed you earlier with Azure Functions, this is a great functionality that goes together with API management, because let's say you just need this nice little API to upload a file. So you create the Azure function that will take the file, and you expose it to API management, and it fits inside your API hierarchy, or you want to add a record to some SQL or to this NoSQL database that I showed you, DocDB. So very, very strong functionality there. I think you've seen this slide, so very quickly, it's part of the app service, and then you've seen this slide as well. So you just saved yourselves 5 minutes of more boredom, which means we'll finish earlier, so that's all good. And you've seen this slide as well. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to attempt my awesome demo that sort of walks through these steps and show you how we create an API, we manage it, run it in Azure, and then we add another implementation using Azure Functions. Oh, wow, look at that. Awesome. Okay. So let's see. Okay. So again, this is the Azure portal. One cool feature about this I just like is the ability to have customized dashboards. So I have my own dashboard for my API demo. We actually have a team now in London doing a bunch of the same demos at the same time. So you'll see some traffic against the API that other people are creating. And the way we start this story is we have this API that manages conference. So we actually use that API in our build conference. So I have this API app. So essentially API app is just like a web app, only it implements headless, basically, using web API in .NET. As you can see, that's the thing I mentioned earlier, is someone's hitting it all the time. So there's some script running out there that's just keeping this thing warm. So we can see hits coming in all the time. And I can also see the API definition. So in this case, we uploaded this Swagger doc. Swagger is a format that is now gaining popularity of describing APIs. And if we look at this here in Visual Studio Code, it's just sort of a text format that allows me to define the routes in my API and describe it. And I can take this thing and import it into APIM. So again, we have a backend here running in Azure, happily crunching. And then we have an API management instance. So remember I talked about two personas. We have the API publisher, which is the admin, and that's this portal. As you can see, I can see some information about how my API gets used, and I can do a bunch of stuff to manage it. And then I have the other persona for the developer that uses this, and they have basically just sort of a catalog. And I can manage this, I can create this website and customize it from the other website. So I'll try to remind everyone where we are, so it's a bit confusing, but we're going to pretend to be the consumer as well as the developer and publisher of this API. So what we're going to do now, we're going to, we're seeing all of these APIs that are imported from the Swagger file. So again, if I go back to the admin role, you can see that I can go ahead and import an API if I wanted to. So we'll save you that. And we have this session get API. So this API basically will give you an array of sessions that exist in our fictional convention here. So the nice thing, it gives me the URL. Notice here that this is, again, a cleaned up URL. It's my API management instance that we created for this demo. And I can hit the send button, and now it's going to go hit this API. So we can see all these results. As I showed you before, as I showed you before, I can see this graph where this stuff is running. And here I can see graphs to tell me how many hits went to my proxy. So that's great, I can see these results, but I don't really like some of this goop that I see in my header. So this is kind of a really old thing that no one needs, like me. We have these leakage of our implementation, because now we can see that's written in .NET. And also, because we are actually facading my APIM instance, or my API app instance, I can see this URL that doesn't really belong here. So I have a bunch of stuff here that I want to clean. So this is where the power of policies comes into place, and I'll explain those in a bit more detail if we have time. But basically, I can go and do some activities against the traffic that comes in. So I'll go in here, and I'll go to my policies. And policies apply to all my APIs, so it's sort of an inheritance model. It's really nice. I can create one, and then I can overload it. And basically, in here, I'm saying, okay, so for our conference API, for the operation of sessions get, I want to add a policy. So let's put it in full screen. And I have my fancy thing here. Okay, and let's save it. So you can see, no, it's funny. Let's try and see, look at it here because it's a bigger font. People can see this? Yeah. Okay, so this is actually very powerful, although a bit hard to read. We will have more visual editor as we move forward. But basically I can look at the traffic that is inbound. So when someone calls my API, I can apply a bunch of things here. So basically, for example, I'm saying, hey, every time something comes in, I'm going to apply a rate limit. I'm going to say that you can only call this 3 times in 10 seconds. And I'm using an expression here to say that when it comes from a unique IP address. So that's actually pretty strong declarative capability here. And then I'm actually setting a variable here for elapsed time for how long it took me to process this API. So I'm starting here and I'm saying, hey, here's a variable name and it's going to be the date time. So very strong functionality. Because I'm sitting in a proxy, I can go ahead and make changes to my traffic. If we look at the bottom here, I have the outbound traffic. For the outbound traffic, we wanted to change the URL from APIM conf to Nirma Azure, so we do it there. And I wanted to remove all these headers that I don't want to share with anyone else. So I put all of that in there. And again, we have some built-in, a bunch of built-in policies that you can use, so you don't have to write all of this stuff yourself. And now if I go back as the user and try to consume this API, so again, I'm in the other portal, I can see that a bunch of this group went away. So no more Pagma, no cache. All of these X headers went away, and I can see this elapsed time variable coming up. So we did this calculation, and this has changed. The other interesting thing is that if I start hitting it real quick here, I got throttled. So remember, I put the rule that says, hey, more than 3 hits in 10 seconds, throttle me. Now I'm throttled, and as we go, we waited some time to wait, it will come back. And so this demo doesn't look so exciting, but it's very exciting because I can really control this thing. I didn't have to write any code. I didn't have to screw up my implementation in the back end. So that's great. Now I want to add a new API. So I wanted to add an API that gives me the session rating. And the way I wanted to implement this API is using Azure Function. So I don't have to introduce Azure Functions for you. Again, good for you, you'll get to go home earlier. But I have this APIM function that I wrote. Okay, now get to drink water. It's all a plan. Okay, cool. Which is called get rating. And again, it's super simple and it's cheesy because all of the APIs will get, all of my sessions get 100%, right? So I solved the problem for myself here. But imagine it goes to a database and so on and so forth. So if I send a session ID, I'll get 100. So that's great. So now I want to expose that to that nice API that we've seen, right? So remember, this is sort of a goopy looking URL. We don't really want to show that to the customer. We want to show to the customer something that looks really neat. So API management to the rescue here, right? So I go back to my APIs. And I'm going to add an operation. And I'll use my trusty notepad. Where's my notepad? We lost it. So that will be the name, so it will be easy to see it. Description. This will go out to the developer portal, so here I can put some more documentation about how to consume it. And this is where it gets interesting, right? So I need a rewrite template. So I need to basically say, this is the URL I will actually call when someone calls this API. So I'm using this template thing. I'm saying session ID will be the parameter that passes on the connections thing, on the queries thing. But again, I don't want people to see this goop. So I'll go ahead and create the URL template here for a get. So again, very interesting here. This was a get, but the other guy will be a post. But I can do this translation here. So I forgot the G, there you go. Almost saved by the, okay. So now I'll have this nice clean API saying, okay, session ID, rating, and it will return the 100% all the time. So that's great. Okay, so now I can go and say, okay, let's run this API. If I'm back in the developer portal, let's refresh this. And we can see our new API that we just created. And when I run it, it actually doesn't work. It's a 404. Why is that? Remember, we applied a policy, and the policy extends to all the methods. That's great because you don't have to do all of them, but now we need to overload this particular method and say, hey, go and call this Azure function I created. So I'll go back to my famous text file, and I have two more operations I have to put in my policy. Back to the publisher portal, go to policies. Select my new API. Again, configure it, let's make it a full screen, although it's very small. But basically here I have the rewrite URL rule, and I'm just going to say, okay, I'm going to set the method to post, and I'm going to post to my Azure function. So let's hit the save button. And now when I hit the send, I'll get my 100%. And if we go to the logger for the function app, we can see that it actually ran. Now, I love to show this in a visual editor, and we'll show it soon where it will be much nicer to look at. But again, very powerful functionality. Just created an API that looks really neat with the right type of routes, calling my Azure function, which is a script, and I did this very quickly and deployed it to my customer. So that's the power of APIM, I think. Yeah. What's next? One more thing for this is, remember we said we have this swagger, right? So I can go ahead and go back, exit my full screen, go back to my dashboard. And I can export this API either to a Swagger or a WSDL format. The nice thing about it now, I can go to Visual Studio, and I already downloaded the file, but I can go ahead and create a client for this very quickly because we understand the Swagger protocol or format. So I'll create a REST API client, use this file I have here. Boom, boom, boom. A very organized look, I have it here, okay. So now it's going to essentially read this file and build all the includes for me. So I'm getting a class that implements a client for this. And I even have, I didn't want to screw that one up, so I have a very sophisticated piece of code here. And I'll go paste it in Visual Studio, and we can run it. So we have a client app here that implements that API. I didn't have to do anything to create this, so it takes a little bit of time to run for the first time. So I'll keep talking until hopefully it will show up. But you can imagine this where you can give this to your client folks. You have a stub and a facade that works, and then you can have the backend team keep implementing the backend. So there you go. Oh, great. Oh, it's 88% on this one. That's cool. But I can run, it calls my backend function. So with that, I'll go back to the slides and we'll look at a little bit other functionalities in depth. So going back, I just basically showed you all of this workflow, right? So I showed you how I use the Swagger to describe an API and pull it into Visual Studio to create a client. I showed you how I implemented the backend with an API app or with an Azure function. I showed you in the previous session how I can use the Azure function to pull from different data sources like DocumentDB. I can use VPN to call on-prem. I published these APIs using API management, shared them with you in my developer portal and showed you a sample. And then we used these policies to throttle the API calls. And you saw some of these graphs where I can monitor my APIs. Cool. Oh, right. No? Okay, cool. So let's go through some of these concepts that you've seen in the demo a little bit more in depth. Policies. So again, very powerful functionality. I can run these declarative bits of code basically every time I get an API call or an API call is returned. I can use that XML language to say what I want to do. And I use these Razor syntax expressions to create variables, manipulate, look inside strings, and change stuff. We whitelisted some .NET libraries for you to be able to use it. You will see us providing more UX so you can build these policies without having to see the code and have a bit more sophisticated when you can sort of lift the hood and build stronger policies. So some examples I can do, for example, I can make stuff run slowly by adding a wait if I want, again, to discourage customers from doing a denial of service attack. I can cache using those expressions. So if I know, again, my API is a bit fragile and it's going to look the same all the time, I can set policy to say, okay, refresh the cache every few seconds and so on. And then I can do some rate limiting as far as even bandwidth. So I can say, hey, the size of the packets I'm willing to send is limited. And then I showed you that where I can, I think I showed this one. Yeah. Again, I can do all this throttling. So that's the other guy who works on APIM. He's doing the session now in the UK. So that's cool. I've already warmed the API up for him. Yeah? No? Oh. Focus went away. Okay, so as far as logging, so you saw some of the graphs that we have, but you may need something more robust. Event Hub is a very robust sort of a service or event bus that we implement inside Azure, and it integrates with many other pieces of Azure. You can set a policy to log any type of data that you want outside of your API calls, and then you can use all of these other Azure tools to analyze the data. You can use machine learning to see patterns, you can use HD Insight, Azure Storage, Stream Analytics is a service that allows us to do queries in real time on kind of incoming data, and you can integrate with Power BI, which is our visualization tool that allows you to look at report and dashboards. So very strong capability in case you need to do more monitoring. And then as far as security, between the client and the API gateway, you can do an API key. We take care of refreshing it for you and so on. We can whitelist IP addresses that's available both in API management and all of Azure App Service that I showed you in the previous session. And we have the JWT support for more advanced clients. Between the API the gateway and the backend, again, your backend can be on-prem. You can see you can be inside a VNet or using the ExpressRoute high bandwidth Microsoft service, and you can be secure in there. You can have SSL mutual auth where you have two secure, what do you call those? Two keys on both sides in the client and the server, SSL certificate. And again, we can do the IP stuff. Analytics, I showed you a little bit. You can see the usage. You can see the health and the activities. And you get these nice graphs that show you where did your API come from, where did your calls come from, and how they were used. And then you can integrate this data through these other capabilities like I showed you of the Event Hub in case you want to start selling your APIs. So you can take this data and say, okay, I'll integrate with some billing system, and I can give people quotas and tiers and so on and so forth. So we're doing great on time. It will let you go early. But like we discussed, you can use APIs to build your apps as exposing mobile clients to make your development process more robust by having two teams doing different things. APIM by itself just makes sense, and you don't need to build it. You can use this product and set up and get going very quickly. Again, I'm sure you love it, so you can use all of, consume all this information here. Today we see API management as sort of a product that is necessary for big integration projects where you want to pull data between a system and between different clouds. And we see it as something that most of the cloud providers have. So it's sort of a core functionality in the cloud today. So I think with that, I'm done, I guess. I'll take questions personally because people don't want to ask in front of everyone. So thank you.